And now, if you'll turn in your Bibles to the New Testament and the Gospel according to John, chapter 10. John chapter 10, and I shall read verses 14, 15, and 16 for our text today. And could I remind you that the degree to which you put yourself into the services is the degree of the blessing that you will receive from them? Could I ask you to be in prayer for your pastor this morning as he shall attempt to preach the glorious gospel of the Son of God? Could I ask you to be mindful of those about you? They are just as much human as you are and apt to make the same mistakes. Be much in prayer for the services today. John chapter 10, after a word of prayer. Our Father, we ask for the reading of Thy Word, that the Holy Spirit would bring to our hearts and minds those things that are necessary and needful for our understanding of our commission and our business in life. May none go out of this house today blinded or ignorant of why we exist and what our commission is in 1967. Open our hearts and minds and make us aware of Thy presence. And should there be those without the Savior, bring them to Him today. Should there be those who need a church home, bring them within the fold. And Heavenly Father, we ask that Thou would send revival to each of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. John chapter 10, verse 14. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold, and one shepherd. Verse 16. Those other sheep. In the month of June, we have been preaching on Sunday morning a series of sermons on spiritual health. The first Sunday of June, we talked about the importance of the Word of God, without which we could not enjoy spiritual health. Last Sunday, we talked about faith, and we noted from the Word of God that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And now this morning, we are going to be talking about service. The Bible, faith, and service. And I think this most appropriate inasmuch as this is Mission Sunday. And our hearts and minds are directed today to the various channels of missionary work in the various countries where our more than 30 missionary families are serving. A 12-year-old boy was once babysitting with a smaller brother when their house caught on fire and all the other family was away. And the little boy was inside and the 12-year-old outside playing, and he dashed into the flames and into the burning house to rescue his little brother. And after he had gotten him out and the smoke was settling and the flames were dying down and the ashes were only simmering, and the neighbors were gathered around one of them asking, what did you think about when you went into that burning house? He scratched his head and said, well, I really didn't think about anything. I only heard my brother's cry. I wonder if this morning our ears are attuned to our brother's cry. I wonder if we are listening from Japan and from all the Orient. and from Germany and South America and Mexico and around the world this morning, somebody's crying. The Macedonian call comes in every language known to mankind. Come over and help us. Are you listening today for your brother's cry? Lest we forget our responsibility to the world about us. Lest we forget our responsibility to the teeming millions who have never heard the gospel of Christ. Lest we forget that while we are seated on this comfortable pew in an air-conditioned auditorium of worship, that all around the world this morning, people in dire need, half of the population of the world went to bed hungry last night. Every time you take a breath, no less than four people somewhere go out into eternity who have never once heard the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, you say, preach, I've heard that before. I pray God that you'll hear it again and again and again until you'll be so motivated that you'll not only hear it, but do something about it. Because concern without action is to no avail. I wonder if we are not so often consumed in our own thinking about our own people that we forget that there are others. Therefore, I want to talk to you this morning about what Jesus said in verse 16. Those other sheep. I want to ask you three questions about them. Number one, who are those other sheep? Number two, what can I do to help? And why should I be concerned about those other sheep? And finally, what is my reward for helping those other sheep? Now, back to question number one. Who are those other sheep? I say again that we are so often submerged in our own affairs that we forget that there are 3 billion other people in the world today. And the same sun that shines on us shines on them. And they are made out of the same thing that we're made out of, the dust of the earth, and have had breathed into them the same breath that we have had breathed into us, even the breath of life by God, the giver of all life. Did you know that the world's population increases by 42 million every year? When we get through praying for me and my troubles, we've almost lost sight of the millions of others around the world who have the same burdens, the same problems, the same heartaches, the same difficulties, and basically the same needs that you and I have. Many soul-searching questions have been asked to man, but I can't think of a question that is more scorching and more soul-searching than the question that God asked Cain in the early days of civilization. I need not rehearse for you the story of Cain and Abel. How that Cain, in a fit of jealous rage, rose up and slew his brother Abel. And God came. And God spoke with Cain. And God asked him a question. Where is thy brother? Consider Cain's answer for a moment. I don't know where my brother is. And that was a lie. He did know where his brother was. And am I my brother's keeper? What did God say to such an irresponsible, untruthful answer? God said, the blood of thy brother crieth unto me from out of the ground. The blood of thy brother crieth from out of the ground. Somehow I believe this morning that God is asking us the same thing. Where is your brother? Maybe you've never seen him. But because he was created by God and made in the likeness and image of God by creation, he is your brother. You know, it's strange how we talk about we don't like people. I don't like so-and-so. Well, they're made out of the same thing you are. They came from the same parent that you came from, Adam. So when you talk about your fellow man, you're really talking about your own kind. Where is thy brother? You are here in worship this morning. You're in the safekeeping of the Savior. You're in the confines of the church. But where's your brother? Where is your brother? You don't know? Yes, you do. You're not your brother's keeper? Yes, you are. Where is thy brother? I think God's asking us this morning. Where is those for whom you are responsible? Jesus said, love thy neighbor. Paul said, I am debtor both to the Greek and to the barbarian. I owe it to every man to tell him about Jesus Christ. Therefore, Paul said, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to those that are at Rome also, for I am proud of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Where is thy brother? Now let's get back to what Jesus said. Love thy neighbor. And one in his congregation rose up and said, who is my neighbor? And Jesus gave what we commonly call the parable of the Good Samaritan. And in that parable, Jesus pointed out one basic and underlying truth. That anybody who is in need of your help and of your services is your neighbor. Regardless of what they are like, or who they are, or where they live. If they need you, they are your neighbor. And you are their neighbor. The priest went by on one side, and I can imagine he might have said within himself, well, I could help this poor fellow, but I've got to get new shoes for the baby this week, and I've got to put new tires on the car, and I've got to do this and that and the other, and I'll just leave him. Because I have got to look after myself first, last, and always. The Levite came by on the other side and passed him by, and perhaps he said, well, I wish that I could stop and administer to this poor soul, but I've got a meeting at 6 o'clock and I just can't do it. Isn't that your attitude sometimes and mine? We see those who are in need. We behold their helpless plight, and yet we're too busy and have too many other things to do to help them. Now, Jesus did not condemn the priest nor the Levite for hurting this man, because I don't think they inflicted any injury upon him. But he did condemn them for not helping that poor soul. Now then, let us apply this to our own hearts and lives. Jesus does not condemn us for hurting, but he does condemn us for not helping. All along the dusty road of the highway of life are the victims of Satan. They've been robbed in body and soul and spirit. And you and I can pass by on the other side. They're a different color. They're a different nationality. They live in a different country. Why should I be concerned? The same reason that God asked Cain a question, where is thy brother? For the same reason that Jesus said, love thy neighbor as thyself. This is an impossible situation. But if you could go by and see yourself lying in the ditch, You wouldn't pass yourself up, would you? Why then would you pass your neighbor up who is in need? Spiritual need, physical need, any kind of need. Let's don't draw the lines and say, these are the people we love. These are the people we help. These are the missionaries we support. These are the people that we want to visit. Let's take care of all of the needs as much as we can. How do you read the 23rd Psalm? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they do comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We read the 23rd Psalm like that. Why don't we read it like this? Those other sheep that Jesus talked about. The Lord is their shepherd. They shall not want. He maketh them to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth them beside the still waters. He restoreth their soul. He leadeth them in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though they walk through the valley of the shadow of death, they shall fear no evil, for thou art with them. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort them. Thou preparest a table before them in the presence of their enemies. Thou anointest their head with oil. Their cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow them all the days of their life. And they shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Why don't you quit reading the 23rd Psalm selfishly? Why is it me and my and not them and their? Jesus said, other sheep I must bring. And I tell you this morning, they're out there. They're out there in the highways and byways of life. They're out there at the crossroads, the marketplaces, in the villages around the world and across our city and in our community. They're out there, those other sheep. The 99 are safe from the foe. And we relax. We are complacent. And we are satisfied that we're in the fold, the 99. But what about that one sheep that's out there on the cold, barren, bleaky mountain of sin who needs someone to go and rescue him? And let the Lord be his shepherd. And let the Lord lead him and guide him and bless him and save him. Those other sheep, who are they? There are countless millions of people. Some of them live right next door to you, across the street. And you've talked with them this week about the Middle East crisis. You've talked to them about the administration, about the weather, about school, about summer vacation, about everything else. But have you said anything to them about Jesus? Oh, you say, well, now that's their business. Oh, no, that's your business. Well, I don't mean to make a nuisance of yourself. A husband came home from work one day and the wife was almost in tears. And he said, but honey, what's the matter? And she said, well, there came a man to my door today. He knocked on my door and when I went, he asked me one question. Does Jesus live here? The husband said, "But why didn't you tell him that we go to Sunday school? Why didn't you tell him that we are not heathen? Why didn't you tell him that we go to church? That's none of his business." "Oh, but," she said, "honey, if you'd have heard him ask it, you'd have thought it was his business. And besides all of that, I've been wondering all day, does Jesus really live here? Those other sheep, those other people whom God has given to us to serve and to try to do something about. And while dust collects on our Bibles today, and while we sit at home in the comforts of modern society, our neighbors are dying and going to hell without Christ. Those other sheep and people around the world are going into eternity without Christ. While the dust, I say, collects on your Bible, there are over 1,700 dialects and languages where not one word of this precious word has ever been printed. Go home today and get the dust off the Bible. Go home today and make the Word of God a living book for your life. Go home today, resolve that you're going to take care of those other sheep. Who are they? Multiplied millions, beginning at home and around the world, are those other sheep. Why, my second question, should I be concerned about those other sheep? It's simple. Because God loves those other sheep. God so loved Texas. Is that what it reads like? For God so loved America. Oh no. For God so loved the world. The world. The world with its teeming billions of people. The world with all of its races, with all of its nations, with all of its nationalities, with all of its cultures, with all of its climates, with all of its civilizations. God loves the world. The world. And if your world doesn't go beyond the four walls of your home, you're living in altogether too small a world. If your world doesn't go beyond the confines of your church and your Sunday school class, your world is too small this morning. God loves the world. That's why we ought to tell them. Because there's an eye that never sleeps beneath the wings of night. There's an ear that never shuts when sink the beams of light. There is an arm that never tires when human strength gives way. There is a love that never fails when earthly loves decay. God loves those other sheep. Well, I know they're not too lovable, but you aren't either. And I'm not either. If God hadn't have been in the saving business of unlovable people, he'd have never saved us. Oh, I know those people don't smell exactly like we do. And they don't live on the same side of the tracks that we live on. And they don't draw the same salary that we draw, but they've got a soul, brother. Listen to me. God loves them just like he loves us. He's no respecter of persons. Ah, we are prone to look down at those who don't have the income bracket that we have. Aren't we? Now, let's just be honest with ourselves. We are prone to look down on those who live on the other side of the track. We are prone to look down on those in distant lands and say, well, God bless them. But we in America have all we want. Why should we be? Here's the reason you ought to be concerned. Jesus Christ died for those other sheep. And there's another reason why. Those other sheep have got to stand before God on the day of judgment. It is appointed unto man once to die. Are you listening? And after this, the judgment. Could I add another sentence to that and say that you and I have got to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And you and I have got to give an account for those souls who have slipped through our fingers into eternity. Because God loves them. He loves the unlovable. He loves the fat and the skinny. He loves the black and the white. He loves the learned and the unlearned. He loves the ugly and the pretty. You know, we are in life always looking for that which is beautiful and attractive, aren't we? But God looks for the unlovely and the unlovable, and He loves them. And you know, the only way He has to really express and prove and show and manifest His love to them is through us. Lord, lay some soul upon my heart and love that soul through me. That's why we ought to. Out in Evanston, Illinois, a few years ago, a ship named the Lady Elgin had gone out onto to Lake Michigan, crowded, overcrowded, and it sank. And a young man who was a student at a Bible Institute heard the cries of a woman out in the water, and he swam out and brought her back. And he went back again and brought back another one. And back again and brought back another one. And 16 times he swam out to the wreckage and brought 16 people to safety. And then he collapsed from sheer exhaustion and went into delirium. And while he was in the delirium state, he kept crying out, "Did I do my best? Did I do my best?" His brother came to his bedside and tried to calm him and comfort him and show him, "Why, you've saved 16 lives. But did I do my best? Could I have saved another one?" I wonder this morning, with all of those who are sinking down in the sea of despondency, in the lakes of sin, I wonder, have we done our best? Have we rescued the perished? Have we cared for the dying? Have we sent out the beam across the lakes of life and rescued those who are drowning seamen? Have we done our best? In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 3 and verse 18, I want to read you quickly just one verse. Listen to it. "When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die." Are you listening now? "When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity." So what? Well, listen to the last part of the verse. "But his blood..." Are you listening now? "But his blood will I require at thine hand." Now, we can look lightly all we want to. When God asks us what He asked Cain, "Where is thy brother?" we can hedge about here and hedge about there. But there's the truth. God requires their blood at our hands. What a fearful thing to think that we would stand before a righteous God with blood dripping off our fingers. A little Scotch boy was called to his mother's bedside. And she said, "John, I'm dying. The doctors say I don't have long to live. But I want you to promise me one thing, John. You know, since Daddy's been gone, that God's been everything to us. And I just have one request, that every chance you get, you speak a good word for Jesus." When's the last time you spoke a good word for Jesus? Did you talk to anybody about Jesus this week? What is my reward if I help those other sheep? That's the final question. Dr. Lewis Ivins, the pastor of the First Presbyterian Church in Hollywood, California, tells about a young doctor in California who had one of the most promising practices in all that part of the state. The door of success was open to him. He was climbing the ladder to be an eminent physician in the state of California. But God spoke to him one day. And God called him to be a missionary in Korea. And he fought the call. But the call kept coming. and he shoved it out of his mind, and he's tried to reason with God. But God, I'm established in California. I have my practice. Success is mine. But the voice kept coming, I want you to go to Korea. And he went. And Dr. Lewis Evans says, I was in Korea on a missionary tour, and I visited this hospital where this doctor from California was serving. He said to me, Dr. Evans, would you like to see surgery performed? Meet me at the hospital at 1 o'clock. And so he went, and he stood over the balcony. And this doctor that had been called as a missionary, an hour went by performing surgery. 2 hours. 3 hours. 4 hours. 5 hours. 7 hours before he finished. And Dr. Evans said, I asked him after it was all over, when he was cleaning himself up and taking off his surgical aprons and washing his hands, and his eyes were glassy, and his lips were almost purple, and his hands were trembling. I said to him, Doc, how much money would you have gotten for that operation in the United States? Oh, he said, I suppose about $500 or maybe $600. It was a very complicated one. He said, but doctor, how much are you going to get here? And Dr. Evans said, he looked at me and sort of smiled and said, preacher, you see that little woman that just wheeled into this operating room in that wheelchair? The only compensation that I'll get for this operation is the smile on that mother's face and the divine approval of God above. And that is worth more than all of the money in the state of California. What kind of reward are you going to get when you stand before God, and they shall come out of all of the countries around the world, and they shall come out of your own city and your own community and your own neighborhood, who are standing in the presence of God, washed in the blood of Jesus, just because you had something to do with it? That's going to be your reward. When you hear Jesus say, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom that is prepared before you, for you. When you hear Jesus say, inasmuch as you've done it unto these, one of my little ones, you've done it unto me. Those are the sheep. Perhaps this morning you are in that number. Maybe you're in the other sheep number. You want to be saved, and you're saying, but how can I be saved? Well, it's very simple. You don't have to know math. You don't have to know science and physics and chemistry and biology and English and history. You've got to know that you're a sinner. And you've got to believe that Jesus died for you. Only believe, and the work is done. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, oh, may those other sheep be on our hearts and minds this morning. May we not close our eyes in slumber. May we not carelessly relax and be complacent and be satisfied with the 99 who are safe in the fold. But may we go out for that one, that other sheep, that Jesus said, I must bring, that there might be one fold and one shepherd. Oh, great God and Bishop of our souls and Shepherd of our lives this morning, lay those on our hearts.